when God interjects that divine dimension into our being, something radical and something powerful happens.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Men have long sought for peace, but have never been able to achieve it. Only Jesus Christ can bring eternal peace personally to our lives and universally someday to the globe when God's kingdom is established on earth and Jesus Christ reigns sovereignly and supremely over that kingdom. Only Jesus Christ can bring that peace. And we gain an insight into that concept in Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 13. Paul calls us to remember it. He calls us to remember what we possess in Jesus Christ. He calls us to remember it, to be thankful for it, to apply the implications of it in our lives, and to share it with other people. As I look at Ephesians 2, 11 to 13, I see two facets of our relationship to God that Paul deals with. And as we come to understand those two facets of our relationship to God, we're motivated, we're prompted to be mindful and to be thankful of all that we possess in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I see is our natural condition. That's verses 11 and 12. And if there's one word to describe our natural condition apart from Jesus Christ, it's the word alienation or separation. And then the second thing I see is our new condition. That's in verse 13. And if there's one word that would describe this new condition that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be the word reconciliation or peace. Now, I wonder if we could just analyze these together for just a moment. First of all, Paul gives to us in Ephesians 2, verses 11, 12, our natural condition, its separation or alienation from God. And I think in verse 11, he gives us the circumstantial cause for that alienation. And in verse 12, he gives the theological cause for it. He gives to us here a terrible sixfold deprivation of the unregenerate Gentile world. Six things of which we were deprived before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this is a portrait, not only the Ephesians, but it's a portrait of every one of us in our natural condition. He says, number one, you are Christless. You were without Christ. You couldn't be any worse off than that, than to be without Jesus Christ. The most precious, the most powerful, the most dynamic personality in the universe is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you were without Christ. You couldn't be any worse off than that. And you were totally without him. That word without is that little Greek particle, choris. And it means total separation from someone or something. And it carries with it the idea of isolation and aloneness. You were totally alone until you were regenerated. And that expression is all the more tragic when you put it in its context here in the flow of thought in the book of Ephesians, because in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, Paul has unfolded the great spiritual blessings of being in Christ. And then he says to the Ephesians, there was that time when you were without Christ. Do you remember what Paul said over there in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3? He could say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That's our state as Christians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. There's one contingency. We have to be in Christ. In Christ, all spiritual blessings. Without Christ, total devastation. None of these blessings belong to any man outside of Jesus Christ. That's where you were. Remember it. Think about it. And think what you have now, since you've come to Christ. You were Christless. Secondly, Paul says, you were stateless. Do you notice? You were stateless. You were aliens from the commonwealth, from the state, the politouma, the political state, the citizenry, the politouma, the commonwealth of the state of Israel. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That word aliens means belonging to another. And strictly speaking, Paul is saying that we were constituents of the wrong kingdom. We were citizens of the wrong state. We were separated from the source of spiritual blessings, and we were bound by the powers, exousia, the dominion, the authority, the state, the kingdom, if you will. We were bound by the powers of darkness. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. We stood outside the line of God's dealings on earth, a very precarious position indeed. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, stateless. You were Christless, you were stateless. He says something else. He says something, there's a third thing he says. You were friendless. Do you notice he says you were strangers? Xenoi, xenos is the word. It means without friends, technically. It means without friends. You were strangers from the covenants of the promise. Definite article is there. You were strangers from the covenants of the promise. No covenants were made with Gentile nations, Paul says. And the promise of a coming Messiah, which was fundamental to each of the covenants, it's the promise, was foreign to them. With respect to that Messiah and the abundant life that he would bring, the unsaved man is a foreigner, Paul says. He's a stranger in a foreign land. He is friendless. He's empty and without meaning. You know, the greatest friends in the whole world are the promises of God. When our human friends fail us, the promises of God never will. The greatest friends in the whole world are the promises of God, and the greatest promise of all was that of the Messiah's coming. And Paul says, in our natural state, outside of Christ, we were strangers to all of that until we came to him. He says, you were Christless. You were stateless. You were friendless. He says, fourth, you were hopeless. Did you notice? Having no hope. We're told by the historians that a great cloud of hopelessness covered the ancient world as well. Sophocles, one of the ancient Greek authors, could say, not to be born at all, that is by far the best fortune. Optimistic outlook in life, isn't it? Not to be born at all, that is by far the best fortune. The second best is, as soon as one is born, with all speed to return thither whence one has come. That's despair. That is hopelessness. And that was the spirit of the ancient world until Jesus came. Jesus brought a radiant dimension of hope to the ancient world as he does to the modern world. In the ancient world, the philosophies were empty. The golden era of Greece was past. The traditions were crumbling. Religions were impotent to help men face either life or death. Paul says, a man without Christ, a Christless man, a man who is a constituent of the wrong kingdom, a stateless man, a man who is not a friend of the promises of God, a friendless man, that kind of man is a hopeless man. But Paul says, a man who knows Jesus Christ, he has hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul could say to the Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, Christ in you, the hope, the happy certainty of sharing in the glory of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1 in verse 27. Paul says, you were Christless, you were stateless, you were friendless, you were hopeless. Then he says, number five, you were godless. Do you notice? Without God. You were without God. The heathen had gods aplenty. What do you mean, Paul? They were godless. The heathens had an abundance of gods. Paul discovered that in Athens, 17th chapter of the book of Acts. Someone had said cynically about the ancient world, particularly about Athens, that it was easier to find a god in Athens than it was to find a man. But the gods of the pantheist and the gods of the polytheist, the impersonal and the multiple gods are no gods at all, Paul says. To possess a false god is to be without God, to have no God at all. In fact, Paul could say to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And that's the only God that amounts to anything, the one true God. And you and I have turned from idols to serve that living and true God. And then finally, Paul says, you were homeless. Do you notice he says you were in the world? And that's not much of a home. That's what I mean. You were homeless. You were in the world. And I think that phrase, in the world, I think it needs to be taken separate along with the rest there. I think that phrase is more a moral and a theological designation than it is a geographical designation. Paul is saying that the unsaved man is an earth dweller. In the technical sense of the term, he is not describing for us or reminding us that we live on planet Earth. He's giving us a theological and a moral insight. The unsaved man is an earth dweller in terms of his fundamental affections. He's an earth dweller. In terms of his fundamental attachments, he's an earth dweller. In terms of his fundamental perspective, his outlook on life, he's an earth dweller. Paul means that before Christ came into our lives, we were earthbound. We were limited by earth's horizons and philosophies. We were curtailed in our creativity, and we were bound exclusively by human wisdom and human genius while being utterly devoid of the knowledge of God. In other words, we were at home in the world, but the world is no home at all. It's never an enduring home because John could say the world is passing away. 1 John 2 and verse 17, and the lust thereof. In the truest sense, we were homeless. Paul says, now listen, I want you to remember something. I want you to be reminded of something. I want you to have this in your mind. This is what you were. This is your natural condition. You were pagan Gentiles. You were polluted. You were uncircumcised. More than that, in that deeper theological sense, you were Christless without Christ. You were stateless, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were friendless, strangers from the covenants of the promise. You were hopeless, having no hope. You were godless without God, and you were homeless in the world, transitory, passing away. No eternal destiny or identity. But now I want you to see that a change has come, and it's come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that's what we celebrate. Paul says, here's our new condition. It's in verse 13. He says, you who are all of these things, now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. The word that describes our new condition is reconciliation. You're made nigh by the blood of Christ. In fact, I see three powerful things in outline form. I'm going to close in just a moment. I see three powerful things in verse 13. One, there is proximity. You're made nigh. You're made nigh. But now ye are made nigh. Here again is one of those mighty adversatives. They're all through the Bible. This is what we were, but now. This is what you were, but God. Those mighty adversatives. When God interjects that divine dimension into our being, something radical and something powerful happens. This is what you were, but now. Something wonderful comes into your life through Christ. He says, in time past, you were all these ugly things, pagan and polluted, hopeless and homeless and godless and Christless and stateless and friendless, all of those things. But now, you who were far off, he says, you have been made nigh. You know, sometimes I think this nearness to God is a privilege that perhaps we take too much for granted. I think we don't think enough about it. Our God does not keep his distance. He's made nigh. In fact, he lives right within us. Our God does not keep his distance or stand on his dignity like some oriental potentate, nor does he insist upon any elaborate or complicated ritual or protocol in order for us to approach him. On the contrary, through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit, we have immediate, any moment, access into the presence of God as our Father. We're made nigh. And there's a sense of intimacy and warmth and family relationship in that phrase. You know that word made is interesting? It's a good word. It's an evangelistic word. You were made nigh. The word is ginomai. It means to become something by birth. That's what it means. It's related to the word Genesis, to bring into being, to give birth to something. You were made nigh. How were you made nigh? You became nigh by birth. You were placed into the family by birth. Our new condition is directly related to our new birth, and our new birth has placed us into a relationship of intimacy and family closeness with God. We were far off. Now we have become by birth nigh. Reconciliation. You were alienated. All of those ugly things characterize you and me, but now we're made nigh.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
We were far from God. There was no hope. And this whole process of reconciliation begins with the historical event of the cross.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.